Thank you, Leon. And we are continuing on in our series on character building. Last week, we looked at Rahab, Amazing Grace, and today, we're going to be looking at another lady that finds herself in the lineage of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're going to be looking at Ruth. And would you say the title of today's sermon with me, please? You Are My God. Here we go. You Are My God. Now, this is a love story. And in fact, Genesis to Revelation is a love story. The Bible is God's love story to you. And today, we are talking about the story of redemption. We're talking about, you remember, unless you slipped in since my survey, that none of us here were born Jewish. But if you're born again today, you're a child of the promise. And we're going to see that Ruth, this Moabite, who was not a daughter of the promise, but from a strange land, this Moabite brings us the story of redemption through Boaz. Now, the name Ruth actually means a sight worth seeing, or beauty, or friendship. And this love story that we're looking at today, I don't want you to look at it as a story from the Old Testament, but as we've been looking at these Old Testament characters, I want you to look at it understanding that it's your story. I want you to understand that this is the story of how God reached out into your life and what God wants to do, not only in you, but what God wants to do through you. And the key is, you must come to the place that Ruth came of saying, "You are my God." Would you say that once again with me, please? You are my God. Well, four things I want to talk about in this story of redemption. First of all, you have a decision to face. You have a decision to face. Now, life is filled with decisions. But for everyone who's born anywhere on planet Earth, the truth is you have a decision to make. And that decision is finding out who God is and finding out what God came for and finding out what God's plan is for your life. You have a decision to face. Now, I gave you the background story, how that they had left. Naomi and Elimelech, her husband, and their two sons had left. They'd left their land of promise to go to Moab because there was a famine in the land. But now, it's a decade later. And then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. Now, wherever you grew up, wherever you kind of called home, there are certain things that remind you of home, aren't there? It might be grandma's fudge. It might be the rose garden. It might be a certain kind of food or a certain kind of meal. But look at now. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab and return to her homeland. Do you know what the story of redemption is all about? The story of redemption is about going home. The story of redemption is God's love story for you, God's grace calling you, God's kindness bringing you back to home, bringing you back to where you belong. You have a decision to face. Now, as you face and make this decision, here's what's true. You will always be tested in this life. But on the way, would you please say, on the way? Like I said earlier, if I was in Naomi's shoes, you would almost think that when you're thinking of moving, when you're thinking, now both of your sons have died, and you've got these two Moabite widows, and you're a widow. Naomi's a widow. You would almost think that when Naomi's thinking about going home, and looking at the three of them widows, that she'd have this discussion with them there before she left. Doesn't that make sense to you? But that's not how it happened. It's on the way. And the decision that God is calling you to make is going to be on the way of life. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back to your mother's homes and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands who are now dead," her sons, "and to me." You will always be tested in life. How many of you remember the story in the Old Testament of Elijah and Elisha? It was time for Elijah to be called up to heaven. And there was going to come this change where Elisha was going to take up the mantle for Elijah. And wherever they went, the prophets would come to Elisha and they would say this, "Do you know that the Lord is going to be taking away your master?" And Elisha would say, "I do know, but don't tell anybody. I do know, but be quiet about it." And then Elijah would say to Elisha, "Stay here. Don't follow me anymore." And you know what happened, don't you? Elisha did follow him. In fact, Elisha followed him right across the river. And as they were on the way, I love what Elisha asked to Elijah. Because you're going to be tested in this life. There are going to be things as you make the decision to follow after God. There are going to be tests that come your way. And this, I believe, was a test that Naomi was giving to her two daughters-in-law. This was a test. And so as Elisha and Elijah crossed over the river on the other side, do you remember what Elisha asked for? I mean, Elijah was a powerful prophet of God. You may be here and you may have a praying mother, a praying father. Perhaps you have a praying grandmother and a praying grandfather. Perhaps you have a family lineage in your family lineage, someone that you look up to that was powerful and mighty in God. Don't just say, "I want to be like them." Don't just say, I want to do what they did. Say what Elisha said to Elijah. "Elijah, I would like to inherit a double portion." Everybody say double portion of your spirit. I want to do more. I want to see more of the goodness of God come through my life. I want to see more of the power of God flow through my life. I want to see more of the plan and the purposes and the grace of God flow through my life. You will always be tested in this life, just as Naomi was testing her daughters-in-law. Not only that, you'll also have the option to turn back as you make this decision to follow after God. You see, there are going to be some hard things that happen in life. I don't know that anything would be harder than death. It must have been very hard, as it is for any person who's married, for their spouse to die. And Naomi's husband, Elimelech, dies. And then she's left, at least with her, you know, with her sons and her daughters-in-law. But then a decade later, by the time they were a decade in Moab, both of her sons die. So not only did her husband die, but both of her sons are dead. You're always going to have the option to turn back. "Look," Naomi said to Ruth, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods," with a small g. "You should do the same." You know, when Jesus was on earth, he called 12 men to follow after him, and they did. They followed after him. And wherever Jesus went, he drew mighty crowds. And the reason he did that is because of who he is. He is the Son of God. And when Jesus would teach, he would teach like no one ever taught before. When Jesus would heal, people would be healed. He ministered with an authority that people had never seen before. And so there would be throngs of people that would come to Jesus. But Jesus, as he was healing and loving and displaying the grace of God, he was also teaching what it means to follow after God. He was teaching what it means to make this decision to follow after him. This most important decision that you must make. And one time when there was a throng of people, Jesus was teaching and he began to say, it's not just about praying a prayer. It's not just about believing in a book. It's not just about, you know, a casual kind of thought. Following after me means giving me your life. It means making me Lord. And as he said this to this great throng of people, many people began to leave. And as they left, Jesus didn't say, "Oh, hey, I'm sorry. No, please come back." No, he kept on teaching. And then the disciples were with him. And Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, "They're leaving me. Would some of you like to leave me as well?" I don't know what challenges that you may be facing today. I don't know if perhaps it's a wayward daughter or a wayward son. I don't know if it's a broken marriage. I don't know if there's a that word cancer, or if there's a sickness, or if there's struggles that you may be facing that you wonder, "God, just where are you?" But when you strive to make this most important decision to follow after Christ, you will have the option of turning back. I love what Peter said when Jesus said, "Would you like to leave me too? Would you like to follow those that are leaving me?" Peter said, "Lord, where else would we go? Jesus, to whom else would we turn? You alone have the words that bring us life. You have a decision to face. You'll be tested. You could turn back. But as Ruth did, you can make the decision to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight." But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back." And here's your story of redemption, Christian, if you've made a decision to follow after Jesus. This is not Ruth's story. This is your story. This is what it means to follow after God. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God, capital G, the one and only true God, your God will be my God. If that's your heart this morning, would you say amen? And now, Ruth goes on in verse 17, and she says this, "Wherever you die, I'm going to die. Wherever you're buried, I'm going to be buried." And then she says this, "May God deal with me oh so severely if I do not follow you until I die." That's what it means to make a decision to follow after Jesus. And when you in your heart, by the grace of God, respond to God's invitation, and when you make that kind of a decision to follow after Christ, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to have a direction to follow. You will have a direction to follow. So the two of them continued on their journey. When they came to Bethlehem, I'm just wondering, is there any other story in the Bible you know that unfolded in the little town of Bethlehem? Do you think it's a coincidence that as God is unveiling to us the story of redemption, that the two of them come into the town of Bethlehem? When they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was excited by their arrival. Is it really, Naomi, the women asked, do you remember that there was a star that called not people of promise, but people from far away, people who were foreigners? And the wise men said, "We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." They sought Jesus. They found Jesus. They worshiped Jesus. And guess what? Wise men still seek Jesus today, and wise women too. When you make a decision to follow Christ, you will have a direction to follow. When you really make that decision in your heart to follow after God, God will lay before you a pathway to follow him and a pathway to trust him. Now, there will be trials along the way. I told you earlier that Ruth's name, the meaning of Ruth's name, is a sight worth seeing. What a beautiful name. You know, when you have children, there's probably nothing more special that you do than choose their name. And none of us as fathers and mothers do it thoughtlessly. We all do it thinking of their destiny and, you know, thinking of what God has for them. I know with my kids, Joshua is my firstborn, the Lord is my salvation. And then Bethany, and I was thinking of all of the good things that Jesus did in Bethany, and I just want Bethany to be blessed and to be a blessing. Then of course Rebecca, and I was just thinking of, you know, how that God was faithful through the life of Rebecca, and of course I didn't name them, but Wanda and I. Well, what a beautiful name, Ruth, a sight worth seeing. Ruth, beauty, Ruth, friendship. There's gonna be trials along the way, and like I say, these are hard trials. Naomi's husband, Elimelech, is dead. Naomi's sons, Mahlon and Chilion, who married Ruth and Orpah, are both dead a decade into this move. I don't think it gets any harder for a mom than that, to lose your mate and then to lose your sons. So when the townspeople were so excited to see, "Is that you, Naomi?" she said, don't you call me a sight worth seeing. Don't you call me beautiful. Don't you call me friendship. Call me bitter. Instead, call me bitter. For the Almighty has made my life very bitter for me. I went away full. Was that true? Did she go away full? there was a famine in the land. Isn't it interesting how we reflect back on what we think we had? There was a famine in the land when she went away. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Now, this is what I love about the story of redemption. You know what? It's okay to be mad with God. It's okay to be angry with God. It's okay to be disappointed with God. If you read the Psalms, you're going to see that there were times that David was not only angry with his own soul, but there were times that, God, where are you? God, why have you abandoned me? God, how long will this go on? And some of you would say, well, that's even sacrilegious. Well, no, it's not. Because if you are mad with God and you don't tell him with your mouth, he sees your heart anyways. You know, you can put a smile on and you can live with platitudes if you want to, but if you're really angry with God today, it's okay. God has broad shoulders and he can handle it. But here's two truths about life, friends. When trials come your way, and as a follower of Jesus, listen, as a follower of Jesus, God allows things to come into our pathway. But as trials come your way, as a Christ follower, there's only two things that are going to happen to you. You're either going to get bitter or you're going to get better. If you want to get better, say amen. And so if you're mad at God today, just be honest with him. He can handle it. I mean, how much angrier do you get? Don't call me, you know, a sight worth seeing, beautiful in friendship. Call me bitter, because I'm mad with God. The truth is that there will be trials on the way. But here's the wonderful truth of redemption, friends. God has a treasure for you to discover. Along the way, God has a treasure for you to discover. Now, Boaz, in this story, reminds us of God. Boaz reminds us of Jesus. Boaz is the Redeemer. Boaz is the one who's going to come and to help Ruth and help Naomi. Now, there was a wealthy and influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. God has a treasure for you to discover. And as you're on this direction after making a decision to follow God, I'll tell you what God wants you to do. God is calling you to tap into his resources. Just like it's no mistake that they went back to Bethlehem, it was no mistake that Ruth found herself gleaning in the field of Boaz, who we just read was a redeemer because he was a relative of Elimelech, Naomi's husband. In the Old Testament, when there was a widow, through the family line, there could be a redeemer, someone who would redeem the land, someone who would redeem the property, someone who would, if there were no children, would marry the woman so that the family lineage could continue. And so, by no mistake, once again, Ruth finds herself gleaning in the field of Boaz. And Boaz has other women who are workers that are gleaning in the field, and also some males who are foremen who are watching over the workers. But Boaz sees this woman, Ruth, and he watches the way that she works. And you know what it said about Ruth? She was a good worker. She was a hard worker. She was a faithful worker. She worked so much that Boaz immediately recognized her, and he went to his foreman and he said, "Who is that woman?" And he found out who she was, and he learned who she was. I'll tell you something, friend, when you begin to follow the direction of God in your life, when you're faithful in the big things and you're faithful in the small things, don't do it to please people, but I'll tell you something, do it because you love the Lord and the Lord loves you, and I'll tell you something about God. God sees everything that you do, even down to a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. And so by no chance, here she is, Ruth, she's gleaning in the field of Boaz. And Boaz went over to her and says to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter." I mean, Ruth had just come and she'd asked the foreman if she could glean in the field. She wasn't a paid worker. "Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us when we gather grain." And he also spoke to his foreman. And he said this, "Now, listen, this woman, Ruth, I want you to be with us. I want you to watch over her. I want you to protect her. I don't want you to give her a hard time." Do you know what happens, friends, when you respond to God's plan of redemption? God will watch over you. God will protect you. You know, the Bible even says that the angel of the Lord surrounds those who fear him. You stay right here, my daughter, and gather grain with us. You have a decision to make. It will result when you make that decision in you taking a direction. And then thirdly, the story of redemption, you have a devotion to fulfill. You have a devotion to fulfill. You know, the Christian life is not a, it's not a 100-yard dash. Has anyone ever been in a race where you've had to, you know, run a race? It's not a 100-yard dash. It's not even a 400-meter relay race. It's not even something where you go all out for 100 yards and then you pass the baton to somebody else, no. The Christian commitment is a marathon race. It's a lifelong race. And you might wonder, well, where do I find the gas to keep going when I don't want to? They say that in a marathon, when a marathon runner runs, that there comes a place. Now, I've never been in a marathon. I think the longest race I ever ran was 10 kilometers, and that was not last week. It was a few years back. But they say that when a marathon runner runs a marathon, that you come to a thing called the wall. What do you do in life in your spiritual journey when you come to the wall? What do you do when you come to the place where you say, I don't think I can go any further? Well, I'll tell you something. You have a devotion to fulfill if you've made that decision and you're on the direction of God. And momentum for life comes from devotion to God. Momentum in your Christian experience comes when you break through spiritually that wall in the name of Jesus. They say this, if you are a marathon runner, you know this, that when you break through the wall, there's a joy that you never know until you run through it. And it's the same in the Christian experience, friends. And so Boaz, who's told his foreman to watch out for Ruth, who's told his foreman to let her glean with them, he begins to talk with Ruth because he knows now who she is. He knows that he's related to her, and he begins to speak to her about, you know, about how she's working and about the good things that he sees in her life. And Ruth says, why are you being so kind to me? Why are you showing me such favor? She says, you know, I'm not even a child of the promise. And this is what redemption says. Oh, I know. I know, Boaz replied, but I also know about everything you have done for your mother-in-law. You remember her? Her name is Ruth, but she wants to be called Mara. Her name is one who looks good, but she wants to be called bitter. She, the one who's the child of the promise is the one who's mad. But this one who's from far away, just like the wise men were, this one who's from far away, this one who's a stranger to the promises of God, this one who's an alien to the promises of God, Boaz says, I've seen everything that you've done for your mother-in-law, Naomi, since the death of your husband. Wait a minute. He didn't say since the death of her husband. Can I ask you a simple question? Do you think that Ruth could have been bitter too? I mean, of course. She lost her husband and he was younger after Naomi lost her father-in-law. Listen, when you make the decision to follow God, he'll give you a direction to life, but you have a devotion to fulfill. You have a calling on your life. And God sees everything that you do. And God, listen, is the rewarder of those who diligently seek after his face. You have a devotion to fulfill. And here's what's true. It was true then and it's true today. God always provides as the needs arise. Now, this is from the Lord's Prayer. What's on the screen? Would you say it with me, please? Give us today our daily bread. God's always on time. God's always on time in the journey of faith. He just calls us to continue to be faithful, to be devoted. And look what happened now in the gleaning field of Boaz, this rich, wealthy redeemer who had influence. He says to his foreman, let her gather grain right among the sheaves. You see, that wasn't how it was supposed to work. If there were poor people, what would happen is that the people who were employed, they would go through first. And then they'd move on to another part of the field. And then if there were poor people, and if the landowner was allowing it, he would allow the poor people to go through the field that had already been gleaned and pick up any leftovers. That's how it was supposed to work. But Boaz says this, let her gather grain right among the sheaves without stopping her. That's just unheard of. But this is unheard of. Oh, and by the way, take the best heads of grain that you've got from the bundles and pull them right off there and look where Ruth is coming and throw it right in front of her. So it wasn't like she didn't even have to pick the best bundles. She just had to pick them up. Do you know what Jesus said for those of us who follow after him and those of us who are devoted to him? He said this, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more." And so that's what they did. They dropped the best parts to her, and she's walking along. Man, this is fantastic. And she just filled her basket up as much as it was possible. Pull some heads of barley from the bundles and drop them on purpose for her. Do you know what, friends? Listen, when you're faithful to God, do you know what he does? He drops stuff on purpose right in your pathway. Yeah, there's going to be tests and there's going to be trials and you're going to hit the wall. But when you're devoted to him, he's going to drop stuff on purpose right in your pathway. God always provides as the needs arise. And the providence of God will bless your family line. I mean, if you're learning anything from this character building series, you got to see that the heart of God is to bless your family line. This is the heart of the Father. I mean, last week we look at Rahab the prostitute. Rahab the prostitute, who probably didn't even talk to her family. All of a sudden, she puts a phone call out to all of her family and they come to her place. I bet you they hadn't been to her place for a long time. But God saved Rahab and her whole family. Or Noah. You know, we looked at Noah. It wasn't just Noah. It wasn't just Noah and his wife. No, it was Noah, your wife, all your kids and their wife. I mean, God's heart, God's providence, listen, as you are devoted, will bless your family line. And so she goes home. She goes home to Bitter, the one who wants to be called Mara, the one who is the daughter of the promise. And Naomi says, "Where did you gather all this grain today?" Naomi asked. "Where did you work?" And look at this. Isn't this how God works? Don't you love this about our God? The one who said, "Don't call me, you know, call me angry, call me bitter." Look what comes out of her heart. "May the Lord bless the one who helped you." And she begins to find out exactly who it was that was helping. Boaz. Boaz, well, he's related to us. Listen, the providence of God will bless your family line. You keep praying for that husband. You keep praying for that wife or that mother-in-law or father-in-law, that niece and that nephew, those children. Keep praying for them. God wants to bless your family line. This promise is for you and your children and your children's children, for as many as the Lord our God will call. You have a devotion to fulfill. And in that devotion, do you know what you're going to discover? You're going to discover that God's promise of life, the life that we spoke about, God's promise of life is yours to obtain. And I love what Ruth says here. Or excuse me, I love what Naomi says to Ruth here. She doesn't say he's showing his kindness to you. But she says, he, Boaz, is showing his kindness to who? To us. To us. As well as your dead husband. That man is one of our closest relatives. He is one of our family redeemers. So you have a decision to make. It will bring you a specific direction. It will call you to a life of devotion. Because you, friend, have a destiny to fulfill. Listen, even in the midnight hour, God will give you a song in the night. But God has the best plan for you. God has the most amazing plan for you. And so as Naomi has told Ruth, he's one of our kinsmen redeemers. She then gives her instructions about how to ask to be redeemed. And she tells her exactly what to do. And of course, Ruth says, "I'll do exactly what you told me. Be sure to notice where he lies down and then go and uncover his feet and lie down there. He will tell you what to do." The destiny that we have to fulfill, and listen, the destiny that we have to communicate to everyone everywhere is this, that Jesus Christ is your Redeemer. That's the destiny. The destiny is to acknowledge that Jesus is your Redeemer. And so this is exactly what Ruth did. She waited until Boaz, you know, they'd harvested for the day, and she waited until they'd had their supper meal, and then Boaz had lied down, and then she made sure that he was asleep. And when Boaz was asleep, Ruth did exactly what Naomi told her to do. Ruth went down and she laid herself down at his feet, quietly. She just laid there. Until sometime in the night, Boaz woke up and he saw that there was somebody laying at his feet. I mean, nothing else went on here. This because the Bible says very clearly, Ruth was a virtuous woman, so nothing else went on here. She just did as Naomi told her. She laid down at the feet of Boaz, and Boaz woke up and he said, "Who are you?" Like, can you imagine going to bed alone and waking up and there's a woman at your feet? Do you remember when there was a woman at the feet of Jesus? Do you remember when there was a woman? We talked about that last week, didn't we? Do you remember that prostitute at the feet of Jesus? I mean, the religious people didn't like that, but do you remember what she did? She let her hair down. She kissed his feet and she worshiped him. "Who are you?" "I am your servant, Ruth," she replied. "Spread the corner of your covering over me, for you are my family redeemer." And I love what Boaz said. "The Lord bless you, my daughter." Listen, friend. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God." And you know, when you come to the Lord, and when you bring him your brokenness and your pain and your past and your sinfulness, and when you lay down at his feet, and when you worship him as Lord, he says, "The Lord bless you." He receives you as a son. He receives you as a daughter. And our destiny is not only for us to acknowledge that Jesus is our Redeemer, but to let other people know that Jesus is our Redeemer. When you fulfill that destiny, God's purchase will bring the blessings of restoration on your life. And you'll bring the hope of restoration to other people, that may be in times of famine and maybe in times of sickness and maybe in times of drought, other people that are far away from God. God's purchase will bring the blessings of restoration. And so Boaz, as Ruth is at her feet, he begins to have this discussion with her about being her family redeemer. And he tells her, he says, "I'm actually not the first in line. There's another one who is supposed to have the opportunity to redeem you before me." And he said, "So I'm going to have to speak to that one." And before it was light and before the sun came up, he said, "Now go quickly away. I don't want anyone to see that you were with me." Not because they'd done anything wrong, but because they were talking about this redemption. And so the next day, Boaz went down into the town square and he went down and he talked to this other one who was in line to redeem Ruth. And he said, "Listen, Ruth is the Elimelech's wife, Naomi. This is their son's, it's the daughter-in-law. And all of the boys have died, and so she needs to be redeemed. You are in line to redeem her. So would you like to redeem the land and everything that Elimelech and his two sons had?" And he said, "Yes, I will. I'll redeem it." And so then Boaz said, "Well, if you're going to redeem the land and everything they had, you're also going to have to marry Ruth." And he said, "Well, no, I can't do that." And so he said in front of all of the people, he said, "Well, then listen, I will redeem Ruth. If you're redeemed by Jesus this morning and you're happy, would you say amen?" The hymn writer said, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am." God's purchase will bring you the blessings of restoration. And in that day, if someone was redeeming something, you had to take your shoe off and give it to them. And that's exactly what this first redeemer did. He took his shoe off and he gave it to Boaz, showing that he had the right of the redemption. And so Boaz said, "You are witnesses today that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon." Those are the sons. Do you know who else could have been there? Orpha. Orpha could have been there. "And the land I have acquired, with the land I have acquired, Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon, will be my wife." Now, I know that you're called the church. I know that those of you that have come to Christ, you're called the body of Christ. But do you know what else you're called? Hello? You're called the, you're the bride. You're the bride of Christ. God's purchase brings about the blessings of restoration both in and through your life. Really, what a sad story. Someone who left the land of promise with her husband and her two sons goes into a foreign land with foreign gods, and they all die, all the men die. What a sad story. Until they come back to where they should have come long ago. You know, friends, as you fulfill the destiny that God has, only God can bring the miracle of reversal to you. When there's been heartache and brokenness and pain and sin and all of the stuff that Jesus died for, it's only God that can bring the miracle of reversal. And Ruth, by the way, also, along with Rahab, is in the lineage of Jesus in Matthew. But I love now what Naomi is told from the same ladies, the townspeople, who she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me bitter." She's holding this child now. Because Boaz and Ruth were married, they conceived, and they had a son. And so now Naomi's holding this child, and the ladies of the town say this to Naomi, "May he restore you," speaking of the baby, "for he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better to you than seven sons." Do you know what seven means in Scripture? It just means fulfillment. I mean, the ladies were saying, "Listen, this Ruth, she's been better to you than seven sons could have been." Can I talk to you if you've got a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa? Do you know what the Bible says? Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother that it will go well with you. This is the first commandment with a promise. She's been better to you than seven sons. So Naomi took the baby and cuddled him to her breast, and she cared for him as if he were her own. You've got a decision to make. When you make that decision to follow after Christ, he will give you a direction. That direction will call devotion out of your life, and it will lead you to your eternal destiny, that destiny for which you were created. And the message, friends, that we have to proclaim in the name of Jesus is simply this: Jesus Christ is your kinsman redeemer. Redeemer. To redeem means to buy back. It means to redeem. It means to release from captivity. To redeem, it means to release from bondage. Do you know what Jesus is able to do? He's able to take people that are blind and make them see. He's able to take people who are deaf and make them hear. He's able to take people who are in darkness and bring them into his marvelous light. And only Jesus Christ, listen, because of who he is, the Son of the living God, only Jesus Christ can take people who are dead and make them alive. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you today. I want to thank you today for this amazing, amazing privilege that is ours, Lord. This amazing privilege that is ours to follow after God, to come to the place where we say as men and women, and from my earlier survey, who are not children of the promise, where we say, "You are my God." Where we say, "Jesus, I understand you died for me, you came to save me, and you are my God, and I will serve you." I want to thank you that we have a decision to make. I wonder if you're here this morning and you know about Jesus, but you've never made that decision. You've never personalized that. You've never understood that Christ, listen, if you were the only person that there was on planet Earth, Jesus Christ would have died to save your soul. I wonder if you're here this morning and you've never made that decision, but today you say, "Yeah, I want to respond to this God who wants to redeem my life. I want to respond to this God who paid this redemption price for me. I want to respond to this God who loves me so much that he gave his one and only son, that if I would call upon him, I would be saved." You know, it's not something you earn. It's something you receive by grace. If you're here this morning and you'd like to make that decision to follow Christ, can you just slip up your hand so I can see it? I'd like to pray with you. You're just here and you're saying, "Pastor Doug, I haven't made that decision, but I'm making it today. I just feel God drawing me into that place today." Just put up your hand so I can see it, and then you can put it down. Thank you, Father. Lord, I want to thank you that decision brings us direction. And God, I want to pray for anybody who's on the way. Lord, there's going to be tests that are going to come our way. We're going to have opportunities to turn back. But God, I pray that for anybody that's on the way, and the way seems hard today, that they'll say what Peter said, we're not going anywhere, Lord. Only you have the words of everlasting life. And I want to thank you, Lord, that direction calls devotion out of our lives. And God, as I'm speaking with my mouth today, I would say forgive me. I'm just saying forgive me for the times that I have not been fully devoted as I should have been. But God, would you be kind to me and make me the man that you're calling me to be? And I pray, God, you'd call that devotion out of our lives. Even if we feel like we're up against the wall, we can't go on, thank you that your grace will carry us through, because you have purposed for everyone in this room in Christ a divine destiny. Lord, help us to be able to say as best as we can, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I'm going to die. Wherever you're buried, I'm going to be buried. Jesus, I'm not in this. I'm in this for the long haul because of everything you've done for me, God. May that be our response as best as we can to enable us to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. I pray it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said together, I want to ask you, would you pray for us? In the next couple of weeks, we'll be on vacation, but other pastors will be here to serve you. I'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. But as we close today, just want to remind you that there's going to be no mix at 6 tonight because it's a long weekend, and so please don't come pull on the door and say, how come it's not open? Just enjoy it with your family and enjoy this long weekend. But I'd like us to stand, please, and we're going to close together singing a song about God's redemption. This is amazing grace.